and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Bob Hope lived to be 100 years old, and he continued to entertain as long as he could, into the late 1990s. He was born Leslie Towns Hope in England, and his family immigrated to the United States when he was a little tot. They settled in Cleveland, which Bob always considered his hometown. This post-war show is broadcast from Bob's hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show from Cleveland, first broadcast March 19th, 1946 on NBC.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Tonight from his hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, we bring you the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. Thank you, well-fed relatives. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob back in his hometown of Cleveland Hope telling you folks in Ohio to use Pepsodent. Your teeth will never look worn. You'll always be able to chew a lime, and after you start dating, you'll soon be marrying. It'll be a good alliance because there won't be any tiffing. And I hope you see their point. That's all local, but this is my hometown. Well, here I am in my hometown, Cleveland. Cleveland is all decorated for the sesquicentennial. Nice way of cleaning your teeth. Yes, sir, there are signs everywhere saying 150 years old, and I'm still trying to catch the guy who put them all under my picture. We had a wonderful plane trip in here on the Constellation, that's Buck Rogers' dream come true. We came across in the stratosphere. In fact, we were so high, W.C. Fields flew escort for us all the way to Kansas City. What a trip. Over the Rockies, the stewardess served lunch. I said, why peppermint sticks for lunch? He said, that's celery. Your nose is bleeding. And once I looked out of the window and I saw a guy floating by in midair. I said, hey, what are you doing out there without a parachute? And he said, I don't need one. I'm Ray Milan. But I had a wonderful trip. I didn't feel a thing until we landed at Cleveland, and the stewardess helped me out from under my seat. When we flew in over the city and I saw Cleveland, a lump came in my throat. It was that apple I tried to swallow over Albuquerque. But I want to tell you that Constellation has got every accommodation. In fact, when you're ready for breakfast, you stick your hand out the window and an eagle lays a fresh egg in it. The pilot kept saying the plane was as comfortable as your living room, and he was right, although I did feel sorry for the saxophone player who opened the door and stepped out after the milk. And when we arrived here in Cleveland, what crowds at the airport? The police had the ropes up, but I demanded a trial first. Why? But I love this old town of Cleveland. Somehow, even the wind off the lake doesn't seem as cold as it used to be. Of course, I've got underwear now. I've got a brother here in the wholesale meat business. He had trouble with shortages, but he's getting plenty of meat now. The Cleveland Indians are selling him all their old ball players. If Tris Speaker's listening, I'm only kidding. A good portion of my family still lives in Ohio. I got a brother doing fine down at Canton and another one doing five at Columbus. When I left Cleveland 10 years ago, my father said I would go a long way. In fact, he nailed the door of the boxcar shut just to make sure. Well, I lived in a neighborhood here where the people were poorer than church mice. And you know, church mice used to be awfully poor until Crosby made Going My Way. I like that personally. And I went back and paid a visit to my old schoolroom and sat in my old desk. And there was the same old inkwell, the same old books, and the same old shaving kit. They're very proud of me out of Fairmont School, though. In fact, on my old desk is a bronze plaque that said, Bob Hope slept here.
Wartime restrictions are ending. Now the toothpaste you wanted is here. It's the new, better-than-ever Pepsodent toothpaste, with twice as much irium. This new Pepsodent has a wonderfully refreshing taste, a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This new Pepsodent with twice as much irium cleans teeth better, cleans better between teeth, makes your breath cleaner, fresher too. You've never had a finer toothpaste, and never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents.
Get this new Pepsodent. Compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. Compare its taste. Compare results. See how quickly, how safely this new Pepsodent with twice as much irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how new Pepsodent cleans teeth better. Cleans better between teeth, too. See how fresh it makes your whole mouth feel.
Compare it now during the sensational introductory offer. Get two 25-cent tubes of new, improved Pepsodent for only 29 cents. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents. Don't delay.
Here comes Skinny Ennis, our boy!
Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You're never satisfied until the teardrops start. I tried to shower you with loving kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My poor heart is sagging the way you toss my heart around. A crying shame. I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. Satisfied until you break my heart.
Yes, sir. That was You Won't Be Satisfied, sung by Skinny Ennis, the only singer in radio who can make one lung sound like none. Edgar, step in. What did you think of that fast flight in from Los Angeles on the Constellation this morning?
Man, we came in so fast, I didn't even have time to take a breath.
Well, that didn't make any difference. Today wasn't your day to breathe anyway, was it? Huh? You know, but it's almost unbelievable, Skinny, that the Constellation could bring us from Los Angeles here in 11 hours and 40 minutes.
Bob, it didn't take 11 hours and 40 minutes, did it?
Oh, yeah. 7 hours from California to Cleveland and 4 hours through traffic from the airport to the Carter Hotel. Than the bus I was in, anyway. Say, how did you like your accommodations on the Constellation coming in?
Well, not bad, but I was a little cramped.
cramped. You shouldn't have been. I thought you'd be very comfortable in there.
Yeah, but those golf clubs take up a lot of room in the bag, too.
Can't understand it. I took the putter out. By the way, Skin. Say, while we're in Cleveland, I'd like to show you the street I was born on.
Street? What's the matter? Couldn't you afford a hospital?
Well, in those days, they had long traffic signals. But you know, Skin... You know, Skin, they even named a street after me here in Cleveland.
So what? They named a street after me in North Carolina, too.
I know, but mine's not a dead end.
Man, how can you stand there with your hat off and say that?
How can you stand with your hat off? Well, shut my face, boy.
Hello, Skinny.
Well, Francis Langford, look at her. Hello, Francis.
How are you, Lester?
What did you say?
I said, hello, Lester.
Lester?
Yes.
Never let you look at my family album again. Well, Francis, Kitty and I were just talking about the trip on the Constellation. Wasn't it wonderful?
I thought so, but surely you didn't have much fun pouting all the way.
Well, you'd have pouted, too.
Oh, Bob, the pilot couldn't open a window just so you could hold your paper windmill out. Say, Bob, I meant to ask you... Were your folks glad to see you?
Not particularly, Francis. They were just as happy getting it through the mail. I send the big tube every week, you know. But I got a great thrill getting off the plane at the airport and seeing Major Barry and seeing all those people out there.
Well, I imagine so, but weren't you carrying it a little too far, running up and kissing that one man?
Well, you wouldn't understand, Francis. You didn't have a draft board. No, really, he was the mayor. Wasn't it nice of him to give me the keys to the city?
Yes, he said he thought that would be best.
He thought that would be best?
Mm-hmm. After you left last time, it was so much trouble digging those hairpins out of all the locks.
That couldn't have been me. I'm a paperclip man.
Well, it must have been interesting looking up the old landmarks you used to know.
Yeah, it's too bad so many of them are married. By the way, Francis, where are you staying?
Oh, I'm stopping at the Carter Hotel, Bob.
Oh, really? Well, I'm stopping at the Carter, too.
I know, but they gave me a room.
Oh, well, what do I care? The janitor's a pretty good gin rummy player. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure now to bring you a friend of mine, a former golf partner, and one of the outstanding political figures of our state of Ohio, the governor, His Excellency Frank J. Lauscher.
Thanks, Bob, and thank you, Democrats.
Welcome to the Fabsident Show, Governor.
Thank you, Bob, and I can only say it's a pleasure for me to appear with one of America's most talented personalities.
No wonder this guy is governor. Oh, you didn't have to say that, Governor.
I know, Bob, but in my business, a vote is a vote.
Governor, you must really be popular here. I even saw a Republican applauding.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed. You saw a Republican applauding.
Well, he wasn't exactly applauding. He was clicking two bricker buttons together. But, Governor, I'll tell you, it was really decent of you to consent to appear in our program.
It's all right, Bob. I don't run for re-election until next fall, and by that time, the public might forget.
You bring a writer-up from Columbus with you, kid? By the way, Governor, don't you think that you could find me some sort of a political job? You know, radio is pretty shaky, and you never know when the sponsor's liable to turn the power off, you know.
Well, right at the moment, Bob...
Well, I don't mean anything big, Governor. Just a little something in the day coach of the official gravy train. Sort of a small pig's knuckle in the old pork barrel, huh? For instance, how about me going to banquets with you and sneering back at the Republicans?
Bob, please, you have the wrong idea entirely. In Ohio, we always play ball with the Republicans.
You play ball with the Republicans?
Yes, of course. We make sure they don't spend too much time up at bat. But, Bob, you haven't lived in Cleveland for 10 years, have you?
No, I haven't.
And you've made pretty good money now, don't you?
Well, not bad. What about it?
Well, Bob, I have a lot of influence, but I regret to say, after this year, I'll have to stop your relief check.
Well, summer's coming, and I can always reopen my frozen custard booth at Euclid Beach, anyway. Oh, say, Governor, tell me confidentially, is that rumor true that you have ambitions to get to the White House?
Why, Bob, how did a rumor like that ever start?
Last week, a piano teacher was seen sneaking in your back door.
So, Bob, I guess you've been pretty busy since you arrived here, haven't you?
Yes, I haven't even had time to see my old home.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Bob. But I guess they haven't told you.
Told me about what?
Our recent slum clearance program.
I can always go to my country home in Warrensville. It's all right.
Tell me,
That's
Bob.
That's the local Riviera, folks.
Bob, are you going to be here for the National Golf Open at Canterbury?
Oh, no, you don't, Gov. You can't rope me into a game after that last game we played.
Oh, I see. You're just jealous because I won,
Well, no wonder. You can't beat a governor.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when I made that hole-in-one, the police commissioner ran over, shoved a machine gun in my face, and said, "What a wonderful shot the governor just made. Now let's see what you can do."
More than I can stand, I give up. Well, Bob, I want to thank you sincerely for bringing your show back here to Cleveland, and to add another word of thanks for the many things you've done to improve the city of Cleveland.
Oh, well, that's very sweet, Governor, but wait a minute. What improvement did I make? I left Cleveland in 1928.
Well, that doesn't leave much for me to say. You asked the question and answered it, too.
Yeah.
It was like a rock. with everyone there. 'Cause you said, yes, I do, to me. That's all that it was, but oh, what it seemed
to be. Alex.
Yes, with wartime restrictions ending, the new toothpaste you wanted is here. It's the better-than-ever new Pepsodent toothpaste with a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This wonderfully refreshing new Pepsodent contains twice as much Irium, the exclusive cleansing ingredient that only Pepsodent can give you. You've never had a finer toothpaste, and never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes, a 50-cent value for only 29 cents.
Get it, compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. See how quickly, how safely, this new Pepsodent with twice as much Irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how it cleans teeth better, cleans better between teeth, makes your breath cleaner, fresher, too. Compare it now while you can get two 25-cent tubes of new Pepsodent toothpaste for only 29 cents. This introductory offer is limited, so act at once. Ladies and gentlemen, in honoring Cleveland's sesquicentennial, we had planned to give you a botany playlist tonight, but upon arriving here and learning that a sesquicentennial is not a flower, Bob decided to change at the last minute, so we will now present some episodes from the early life of Bob Hope, or Nature Strikes Back. We take you back to the night of May 23rd, 1911. The stork is winging its way through the sky above Cleveland.
Darn that soft coal.
When Papa Hope comes home from work, he peeks at little Robert lying in his crib and says happily,
well, what do you know? A swordfish.
But little Robert showed early signs of becoming a child prodigy. It was really a surprise to his parents, and without warning, he uttered his first words.
Da-da! Da-da! Isn't that wonderful, Father? And just think, he's only 14.
Finally, at the age of 16, Bob Hope teams up with another kid and goes into vaudeville.
Tell me, Mr. Bones, what's a cow?
What's a cow?
You heard me, what's a cow?
That's a horse that's going bowling.
And Bob grew up and went out to Hollywood to win fame and fortune, but he never forgot his folks. Each week, he sends them a box of apples, which they sell on the corner of Prospect and Ontario. And now we find Bob's parents in Cleveland, Ohio, living in the little house that Bob built for them.
The rain will soon stop, Ma. Keep treading water.
Can't understand it, Paul. The roof never leaked before.
Well, I was up there yesterday and forgot to screw the cap on it. Gee, I sure wish we'd get a letter from our son, Robert.
What for, Pa? There's never anything in him but writing. I wonder what our son Robert's doing out in Hollywood now.
Same old thing, I guess.
Oh, really? That's odd. I heard he got a job. About time you took your exercise, ain't it, Paul?
Yeah, I guess so, Ma. Here goes. Okay, now for the toes and the other foot.
The mortgage is due today. If our son Robert don't get here with the $10,000, we'll lose the old homestead.
Well, what of it, Ma? If we get kicked out, all we got to do is go around any apartment building and rent an apartment.
Yeah. That's right, Pa. There's lots of vacant places around.
Yeah, gee, that was fun, Ma. Now, this time you light up and blow the smoke in my face. Don't you worry, Ma. Our son Robert will get here with the money.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Yeah, it must be a party line. There's a horse on the phone.
Kelowna, are you the banker?
Right. J. Vance Swearingen, Kelowna. Railroads consolidated, bands amalgamated. Also, butter sold at midnight under the high-level bridge.
Well, listen, Kelowna, my son sent me a check last week that should have covered it. How much was his check for?
I can't tell.
You can't tell?
No, it hasn't stopped bouncing yet.
You know, Professor, for a banker, you sound a little jerky.
Well, I'm chilly, Hope. I spent all day in the Frigidaire.
What were you doing in the Frigidaire?
Figuring up frozen assets. It's no use pleading. Get the mortgage money and have it at your house tonight. I'll be there at 6 with the hot needles and firing squad.
You're really money mad.
Well, you see, Hope, I want all the things I never had as a child. Wine, women, and a mink string for my yo-yo.
Kelowna, tell me, how can you be so tight?
Easy, Hope. Every morning, now I'm on my Wheaties.
Kelowna, we haven't got the money to pay the mortgage. What are you going to do to us?
Well, don't worry about a thing. There's a man right here in the bank now explaining why he can't pay his mortgage. And he isn't the least bit nervous about it. Of course, he stutters a bit.
But now, will Bob Hope Jr. arrive in time to save the family homestead? Will Professor Kelowna's mustache get back from the dry cleaners before Wednesday? Will the sponsor put up with this kind of a program much longer? Keep tuned in and try and find out. We now take you to the cabin of a speedy constellation. Bob Hope is forward, anxiously talking to the pilot.
Are you sure we're going to make it, pilot? I've got to get there for the mortgage. We got enough gas?
Enough gas? We've been out of gas since Chicago.
Out of gas since Chicago? What have we been flying on?
Never mind that. Just keep talking.
What's that?
I won't have enough gas to land. You better bail out.
Okay, I've got the parachute on.
Don't forget, jump. Count to 10, then pull the ripcord.
Okay, here I go, Geronimo! 1, 2, 3.
Eight, nine, ten.
Here's my house right over here, Skin. You can do these things in radio. I'll go in and surprise Ma.
Well, lawsy sakes, it's son Robert come home with the mortgage money.
The mortgage money? What mortgage money? Hey, Ma, I got money. Let me back in.
You're just in time. Banker Kelowna's foreclosing the mortgage. We can't pay.
Well, if you can't pay the mortgage, then I'll have to take your daughter with me.
Kelowna, there are no girls in the family, and put me down. And besides, Kelowna, where's your heart? Don't you know that the quality of mercy is not strained?
What's that?
The quality of mercy is not strained. What do you say to that?
Makes it pretty lumpy, doesn't it?
Listen, we shouldn't be discussing this in front of the old folks. We'll go over to your office. Where is it?
Over in Astor.
Beulah?
Glad to know you, Beulah. I'm Kelowna.
You're going to pull this kind of stuff at Higbee's tomorrow at 3, huh? Kelowna, why aren't you a sporting man about this mortgage? We'll duel for the mortgage.
All right, so. We'd better hurry or I'll be working with Red Skelton.
Where's that? Yes. All right. Fine. I'll just take this .45 revolver and you lucky man, take this bow and arrow.
Sounds like a fair arrangement. Ready.
Ready. I'll count three. 1, 2, 3. Ow!
Didn't know I was a Cleveland Indian.
All thanks to memory of being asked to share in this great big affair. From coast to coast, no better host than the American Legionnaire. And we thank you so much. Thanks to Governor Frank J. Lausche and all you Clevelanders for being with us tonight.
You were wonderful. Governor, you were great, really. Also, I'd like to say thanks again to Captain Pat Gallup, Chief of Operations for TWA, and that wonderful crew for making our trip in the Lockheed Constellation so delightful.
Excuse me, Bob. A man whose name has long been identified with aiding humanity, Mr. Basil O'Connor, the national chairman of the American Red Cross, is waiting in Washington to say a few words. Mr. Basil O'Connor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Bob's radio show continued into the mid-1950s, and he appeared in television and films into his 90s. He did 57 tours with the USO and emceed the Academy Awards 19 times. In this show, Bob Hope welcomes Grace Kelly as his guest star. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show, first broadcast May 14th, 1954 on NBC.
The American Dairy Association, the nation's dairy farmers, present the Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. For the American Dairy Association, whose dairy farmers produce the world's finest family of delicious, healthful foods, yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Grace Kelly. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am again for the American Dairy Association, whose 10 million cows bring you 40 million gallons of milk day after day. Milk is one thing that keeps going on and on. You can't interrupt it, even by yelling, point of order. I was in Washington last week, but nobody noticed me. I was wanting to see the general, and I had a few words with him about taxes. He had two for me, paid him. While I was back there, I took in the Kentucky Derby and vice versa. That's why I was so late getting back. Hitchhiking isn't what it used to be. But they were very nice to the losers this year. As you left the track, there was a bus waiting to take you to Strike It Rich. A California horse won the Derby, and she not only got the prize money, but something every American filly dreams about, a date with Trigger. And you could tell it was a California horse. It was the only one in the race wearing dark blinkers, a sun suit, open-toed shoes, and galoshes. I had a wonderful trip. I always enjoy seeing my old friends in Cleveland. The nice thing about my old friends is they never ask me for any of my money. They just want theirs back. And I made a personal appearance with the picture Casanova's Big Night in Milwaukee, the beer town. I'm always nervous in Milwaukee. You never know whether the audience is applauding or burping. I wasn't happy with the way the theater advertised the picture. There was a big sign that said, Casanova's Big Night starring Bob Hope bowling in the basement. What'll you have? And I went to see the Cleveland Indians play ball. I'm tremendously interested in the team, but I didn't get to see much of what went on. I intended the game as Jack Benny's guest, and we took turns looking through the knot hole. Jack Benny, that's the Howard Hughes of the gay 90s. I shouldn't say that because I'm going to appear on Jack's next TV show. He does a show every 3 weeks. He has to allow 3 weeks between shows. It takes the guest stars that long to read all the clauses in the contract. But I had a nice trip. You know, I travel so much that my wife, Dolores, still doesn't know what I do for a living. She thinks I'm a guide on Welcome Travelers. It was a strenuous trip, so when I got back, I dropped in at my doctor's for a check. He's been dropping in at my place all winter for one. The man I go to happens to be a famous baby doctor. And when I guess he's absent-minded, he patted me around the waist and he said, come back in 2 weeks and don't do any lifting or bending. I asked the doctor to listen to my heart. I don't know how the beat sounded, but he listened for a moment. Then he called three other doctors and some nurses in and they started a Mamba session. After the examination, I said, what shape am I in? How long have I got, Doc? He said, well, let's put it this way. Instead of my sending you a bill, from now on you pay cash. No, but the weather's been so beautiful here. This afternoon I went on a picnic with the members of the cast. Les Brown brought his musicians along. That was a mistake. You know, when you take musicians outdoors, the sun blinds them. And if it doesn't, they bring along something that will. No, these guys were so happy, I got suspicious. I couldn't figure out where they were getting this stuff until I noticed that the trombone had three valves and a faucet. But the musicians found a part of the woods where the trees were all exactly the same size. They were so excited about it, I didn't have the heart to tell them they wandered into a drive-in theater. Then the newsreel started, showing President Eisenhower, and the trumpet player began to cry. What a cool president, he sobbed. Imagine him taking time out from all his work just to come to our picnic. And the bass player said, not only that, but coming all the way from Washington, man, that cat really tiptoes around. Looking at, Bill Goodman, looks like a picture of a happy family seated around the dinner table.
Plenty of the good things of life represented there, Bob, especially that big pitcher of cold milk at the end of the table. Drinking milk is a mighty good habit for good living. And now, during milk festival time, families all across the nation are climbing on the bandwagon, celebrating a festival of energy and good eating with plenty of milk. It's great to have the relaxed, comfortable, satisfied feeling of well-being which milk supplies. And a hearty breakfast that includes milk or cream and some kind of cereal helps send your husband to work fortified against the tensions of modern living, helps to give your youngsters some of the energy they need, plus a big share of important vitamins, calcium, and proteins. Smart homemakers know all sorts of ways to serve extra milk in cooking, at snack time and mealtime. Just remember that milk tastes best when it's kept right, kept clean, covered, and cold, and poured fresh and bubbling from a pitcher. Help your family stay a happy family. Climb on the bandwagon and help celebrate the Milk Festival. The milk habit is a good habit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize it, but a great amount of research goes into the preparation of our show, and frankly, I didn't realize it myself till this morning. When I arrived at the studio for rehearsal, I found Bob deep in the encyclopedia. The encyclopedia? What's all this, Bob?
Hey, this is a fascinating book, Bill. For instance, did you know that the aardvark is a prehistoric amphibious mammal found only in the lower basin of the Zambezi River during the rainy season?
No.
Did you know that the ptarmigan grows white feathers in order to make itself invisible to its enemies?
No.
Did you know that the mating season of the African tsetse fly lasts 11 months out of the year?
Well, heavens to King Farouk.
Porcelain head down. Relax, boy. He's been impossible to deal with since he got his face in the cover of Plumber's Guide.
Say, why are you reading up on wildlife, Bob? Just from curiosity, or are you going to be the mystery guest on Zoo Parade?
No, Willie, I'm boning up on Africa because Grace Kelly is on our show tonight, and she made Magambo over there. I always find out what our guest stars are interested in so I can hold a conversation with them.
You do?
Yeah, for example, when we had Ann Baxter on the show, I read up on painting because that's her big interest. When we had Humphrey Bogart, I spent a week in Alcatraz. And when we had... And then when we had Zsa Zsa Gabor...
Yes? Yes?
You know, the research is more fun than the show.
Well, we better get on with rehearsal. What's Les Brown going to play?
I'll find out. Say, Les, do your boys know any African music?
Only Moonlight on the Ganges.
Moonlight on the Ganges? Les, the Ganges River isn't in Africa at all.
It isn't?
Of course not.
What country is it in?
Okay, play Moonlight on the Ganges.
Here's Grace Kelly now, Bob.
Well, hello. Hello.
Bob, I hope I'm not late.
No, we're just starting rehearsal.
Well, that's fine. What do we rehearse?
Well, at the beginning of the show, Grace, I usually ask the guest star what picture they'd like to mention. It gives me an excuse to mention my picture, Casanova's Big Night, now playing at your neighborhood theater.
Oh, Is it all right if I mention a picture, Bob?
Well, just briefly. What picture is it?
Well, I work at MGM, and they've made a wonderful movie, Executive Suite, starring William Holden, June Allison, Frederick March, Barbara Stanwyck, Walter Pigeon, Shelley Winters, Paul Douglas, Nina Foch, Louis Calhoun, Tim Considine, William Phipps, Lucille Knopf, Edgar Staley, Mary Adams, Virginia Brizak, and Harry Shannon.
That takes care of the phone book. Who's in the picture?
Well, what am I going to do on your radio show tonight, Bob?
Well, since you got your break in Mogambo, Grace, I thought we'd do something about Africa.
Oh, that'd be swell, Bob. I have many vivid memories of my stay over there.
Oh, I know quite a bit about the country myself, Grace. For instance, take the brontosaurus.
The what?
The brontosaurus. He's extinct now. Few people know it, but the brontosaurus was 70 feet long, 16 feet tall, and weighed 35 tons.
He weighed 35 tons?
Yeah, that's why he became extinct. His feet were killing him.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and he had the bad luck to be born 3,000 years before Dr. Show's footpad. You know that? But you know, Grace, despite his enormous bulk, the brontosaurus had a brain the size of a pea.
Well, how about that?
That's true, Grace. Can you imagine anything living with a brain the size of a pea?
I know people who get by with less.
Let's not drag Crosby into this. Now, how long were you in Africa, Grace?
Oh, several months, Bob. You ought to visit Africa sometime.
I promise myself, Grace. I'm going over there next year.
They have such strange customs. Some of the wealthy chiefs actually buy wives by the dozen.
On second thought, I may go this year. Do they take green stamps?
Some of the native chieftains have as many as 500 wives.
So I hear their towels are marked his, hers, and...
Bob, when you telephoned me yesterday, you told me to recall my most interesting experience in Africa, and we'll do it on the show tonight.
That's right, Grace. What's it about?
Well, I'm one of the few women who has ever organized a safari and gone into the jungle. Of course, I couldn't have done it without the help of a wonderful man I met in Mombasa, a jungle hunter and safari leader of great understanding and wisdom.
I'll play that part. Sounds like a perfect description to me.
He was tall, dashing, debonair.
That's me.
Handsome as a Greek god.
That's me.
And yet, when an emergency arose, he turned out to be a complete coward.
You don't have to spell out my whole name. Well, let's get into it. Give us some music, Les.
My story starts in Mombasa, an African town where safaris are organized to go into the jungle. A safari leader had been recommended to me, and I walked through the dusty, sun-baked streets till I found his bungalow. A sign on it said, Jungle Hunter, Safari Leader, Guns Rented and Repaired, Expeditions Arranged Through Maasai Warrior Country and Zulu Territory, Bock Beer on Draft. I walked up on the veranda and knocked at the door.
Come in.
I'll never forget the first time I saw Hunter Hope. I knew at once he was a hunter. He had the head of a lion, the face of a tiger, and the beak of an eagle. His house was filled with trophies, animal heads, grotesque native masks, and he was sitting on a leopard skin on the floor, dipping the tips of arrows into a pot of poison. I said, you are Hunter Hope?
That's right. I'm Hunter Hope, better known as Buona Devil. What can I do for you?
I need a leader to take a safari into the jungle.
A safari into the jungle at this time of the year? What part of the jungle?
The Zambezi River Basin. Bad, huh?
Very bad. Are you going on the safari, too?
Yes. What does that mean?
Just what you think it means.
I'm going on safari, but don't get any ideas.
I don't have to. I've had them all along. Why do you want to go into Nyasaland, anyway?
To find someone.
Who?
My Uncle Jeffrey. He disappeared into the jungle and was never heard from again.
When was that?
September 1927.
And what makes you think he's lost?
Well, will you take the job? job and lead my safari? Just answer yes or no.
The answer is no. You outlanders won't take advice. You'll waste human lives to do things your own way. Get someone else to lead your safari. I won't do it, but I'll probably lead the next safari, the one that brings out your bones.
Well, if you feel that way,
don't interrupt. You asked for this, so let me finish what I've got to say. You don't know what the jungle is, the quicksand, snakes, lions, the heat. If I led this safari night after night, we'd be stuck out there, you and I alone, and you and I alone, and you and I alone? How long do you think we'd be gone, huh? And here is the Capitol Record favorite, assisted by Les Brown, Miss Maggie Whiting, singing Make Love to Me. Come in, Maggie.
Take me in your arms and never let me go. Whisper to me softly while the moon is low. Hold me close and tell me what I wanna know. Say it to me gently, let that sweet talk flow. Come a little closer, make love to me. Kiss me once again before we say goodnight. Take me in your loving arms and squeeze me tight. Put me in a mood so I can dream all night. Everybody's sleeping so it's quite alright. Come a little closer, make love to me. Until you're mine. When I'm in your arms, you give my heart a treat. Everything about you is so doggone sweet. Every time we kiss, you make my life complete. Baby doll, you know you swept me off my feet. Well, now's the time to tell you, make love to me. When you're near, so help me, dear. Chills run up my spine. Don't you know I love you so? I won't be happy until you're mine. When I'm in your arms, you give my heart a treat. Everything about you is so doggone sweet. Every time we kiss, you make my life complete. Baby, don't you know you swept me off my feet? Well, now's the time to tell you, make love to me. Now's the time to tell you, make love to me.
What's this you're handing me, Bill Goodwin?
Well, that, Rob, is a brown cow.
Looks like chocolate milk to me, one of my favorites.
Chocolate milk beaten up with a little malt powder and a dash of vanilla. You can even add a ripe banana if you like. This is just one of the many fascinating flavored milk drinks that your family may appreciate now during the nation's milk festival. So many mothers mix chocolate milk at home with cool whole milk and chocolate syrup. That way they're furnishing double energy value to active youngsters. There's no limit to the variety of flavored milk drinks you can prepare with natural fruits and flavors, and every one is an exciting variation of the pure, whole milk which folks naturally love. Be sure you always serve milk very cold, and see how it tastes even better when you pour it foaming from a pitcher. Include fig cookies or graham crackers when milk is a snack time treat. Be sure you've enough for seconds at mealtime. Drink at least 3 glasses of milk every day. Youngsters, 4 glasses. Let's all join in to celebrate the Milk Festival. And now, continuing our story, let's return to Africa and the town of Mombasa. Grace Kelly has appealed to the jungle hunter to lead her safari. She is awaiting his decision.
was a difficult decision to make. It would be madness to lead an expedition into the Zambezi country. It was deep in the interior, fever-ridden, and the natives there still practiced head-shrinking. If they took a dislike to someone, they shriveled his head to the size of a kumquat. One jungle hunter had wandered into their territory, and when he came back, from the neck up, all he had was a doorknob. All my instincts told me to skip this trip, but I couldn't get the beautiful American out of my mind. That blonde, silken hair, those deep blue eyes, that gorgeous, shapely figure. And to top it off, she was a girl.
Well, have you made up your mind? Will you lead my safari to Zambezi?
Well, I've thought of one route that might get us through. Look at this map on the wall. Now, we go from Saki to Bangasi here, through the valley of the Ruwenzori into Uganda, cross here through the Cameroons, then down into Rhodesia by way of Bukama, Masumba, Pretoria, Matadi, Bameko, Kalwisi, Usumbre, Segu, Katiola, and Atanga. You better go on by yourself. I'm pooped. We went to the office of the district commissioner of police.
I'd like to leave as soon as possible, commissioner.
I think that can be arranged.
I'm sure I'll be perfectly safe on my trip. For my safari leader, I've hired this gentleman here, Bwana Hope.
Oh, no. Not Bwana Hope.
I've heard Bwana Hope is a very good jungle hunter.
Are you kidding? This man doesn't even know how to handle a gun. He shot so many of his own toes off, he's the only guide in Africa who wears children's size shoes.
Oh, you're exaggerating.
Oh, no, I'm not. Every time Bwana Hope starts out on a hunting trip, Band-Aid stock jumps 12 points.
Look, we just came here for a travel permit. Did we get it or not?
Oh, I'm sure Bwana Hope will be a satisfactory leader, Commissioner.
You don't know him like we do. He's the worst guide in Africa. Each time he takes out a safari, the same thing happens.
What's that?
The minute he gets past the last mobile gas station, he's hopelessly lost. Jungle guide. Ha! He couldn't find his way out of Carmen Miranda's hat.
Don't worry about my safari. I'm going to ford the Zanga River, then cut straight across the jungle, knocking over a few lions and tigers on the way. Then I'll head directly for Mozambique, if I have to cut my way through the whole Maasai and Zulu tribe single-handed.
Oh, that will be jolly. And one more thing.
What's that?
When you pass Mount Kilimanjaro, say hello to Ava Gardner.
Quiet, or I'll bend your picture of Liberace.
Well, goodbye, Miss Kelly.
Goodbye, Commissioner.
We started the next morning from Mombasa. By noon, we were in dense jungle. Parakeets flew overhead. Monkeys scolded us from the branches. Wild animals peered at us from the underbrush. Those Holsteins can get pretty mean, you know. Our safari pressed on. The Bell sisters are lost. I knew the American girl was nervous, so I stayed close to her.
Look, a huge lion.
Steady. When a lion growls like that, he doesn't mean any trouble. But when he roars, that's when the cowards climb the trees. You know, you can see all over from up here.
That night we camped, and beyond the light of the campfire, the jungle was a wall of black around us. I tried to get acquainted with the tall, leather-faced hunter, Bwana Hope. Nice sitting here together, isn't it?
Sure is, ma'am.
You like the jungle, don't you?
Tain't bad.
But...
They originally had Tennessee Ernie for this part.
But how can you stand such a lonely life? You don't have a girlfriend. You don't even know what day it is out here.
I've got a calendar that answers both your questions.
He was very handsome sitting there. I tried to get him to kiss me. You know you're very handsome.
Think so?
Come over here, closer to me.
Well...
Closer. Now, take my lips.
Oh, are they detachable?
You know you're a strange man. Why do you brood so much?
Well, I can't help it. Danger lurks everywhere. You never know when you'll be clawed by a tiger or eaten by cannibals or sink into quicksand or die of jungle fever.
Well, then why do you stay here?
I only have to stay here 8 more months.
Then what happens?
I report back to Art Linkletter on People Are Funny.
Well, I'm going to bed.
Good night.
There's only one tent.
That's right.
Who sleeps in the tent?
Well, you're a woman. Your skin is tender. You're not used to the jungle at night, but... I'm an old hand here in Africa. Nothing bothers me. So under the circumstances...
Yes?
We'll toss for it. The days went by. We trekked down and on, deeper and deeper into the jungle. Our progress was slow. We were held up by crocodile, infested rivers, herds of buffalo, and masses of rhinoceri. If any Harvard men are listening... Then one day we marched into a native village and found the man Grace Kelly was searching for.
Here, man, you look for.
Uncle Jeffrey, is it really you?
Oh, that's right, my dear. I have stayed here all these years because I like it. This is the last remaining place in the world where a man can find real peace and quiet, contentment. The natives are untouched, unspoiled by civilization. This place will be a paradise forever.
Poor man. I didn't have the heart to tell him that his dream would soon be shattered. The next week, the freeway was coming through. Well, we've come a long way and we're tired. Get these guys to unpack our bags. Prepare some food. They're no help. Just stand there gaping at us.
Hey, easy now. These people are not used to harsh treatment.
Come on, everybody. Get a move on. Get busy.
Careful. They have guns.
Who cares? They'll do as I say. No bunch of Congo villagers can scare me. What do you think I am, yellow? You know, you can see all over from up here.
You know, backfence gossip is a mighty good thing when it's cooking hints that are traded between neighbors. And naturally, some of the most treasured recipes make the rounds in that very fashion. Take suggestions for frying chicken, for instance. One good cook tells another good cook that butter brown chicken is best. Add an extra bit of butter to each piece of chicken after it's browned and taste the difference. You see, butter brightens the flavor of every food it touches. Let it add that extra special elegance to your fried chicken. Now, butter is a better value than ever.
Oh, thanks for the memory of the Cerebral Palsy Campaign and their efforts to obtain the needed funds for the helpless ones this drive we must sustain. And we thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, during the month of May, United Cerebral Palsy is conducting its annual drive to raise the funds necessary to continue its work of research and to maintain its treatment centers, clinics, and other facilities. Each year, almost 10,000 children are born with cerebral palsy. Thousands of GIs from World War II are paraplegic cases. And traffic accidents and brain injuries run the total of cerebral palsy cases up to over 500,000. With long and expensive treatment, many of these cases can be cured. And in many, there is great improvement. But all this takes lots of money. However, no price is too great if we'll help these people to talk and laugh and work again. So please send as much as you can to Cerebral Palsy in care of your postmaster. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Be sure to listen to the Bob Hope Show next week from Hollywood with our special guest, Merle Oberon. The Bob Hope Show, an NBC Radio Network production, was written by Norman Sullivan and Charles Lee, transcribed direct from Hollywood, California. This program has been brought to you by the American Dairy Association, the nation's dairy farmer. Remember, butter brightens the flavor of every food it touches.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.